Open your Bibles, if you would, to two places. If you do have a pencil, you may want to. We're going to give you some verses and going to turn very quickly to the verses tonight. And if you want to jot them down, we're going to be preaching on the Book of Life. And we're going to look at every verse that we can find a reference in the Bible to the Book of Life. Therefore, you know, there's a lot of teaching, a lot of ideas about the Book of Life. Well, when you look at every verse that there is, you can't say something else is being taught if you don't have any other verses to prove your point. And so tonight we want to look at all the verses, and we want you to turn in, if you would, to Revelation chapter 20 and Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139, put your finger there, and then Revelation chapter 20. As I said, I will be referring to a lot of different verses, but we'll be going there fairly quickly tonight. So I appreciate if you'll just stay with me, and you may want to jot them down and research them a little bit later. To be able to understand the Book of Life, there are some principles that you need to understand. But first of all, let's look at two places in the book of Revelation. By the way, the Book of Life is mentioned several times in the book of Revelation. Some people says, well, there's a Lamb's Book of Life, there's a Book of Life, there's a Book of Living, and all that. We want you to look, and we're going to study it, and we're going to examine all of those things and see if not, they're all one and the same. And we'll show you why tonight if you'll stay with us. But if you look in chapter 20, remember that John is looking at the great white throne judgment. In verse number 11, he said, I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, talking about all the lost, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. There are books, the Bible refers to, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead in them which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written where? In the book of life was cast where? Somebody said, why is it important? Why is the book of life important? Because if your name doesn't end up there, hell will be your destiny. That's where you'll end up. Now, notice just a few moments that there are books. Some people say, what's the books? Well, we know that the word of God, we're going to be judged by that. According to John chapter 12, verse 47, 48, Jesus said he came not to judge the world, but the word he spoke, it shall judge you in the last day. When you stand before God, the books were going to be opened, the Word of God, you will be judged. Not only that, there will be books that will record your works, and it will be what you've done. And so, those of you who are, if you die lost, you'll be standing at this judgment. If you die saved, you'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. But all the lost here will be judged according to the works. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Now turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 139. To have an understanding of the book of life, there are some things that you need to understand. And this chapter does a real good job of explaining those things to set the groundwork for understanding of the book of life. As a matter of fact, it even mentions the book in this chapter. Notice, if you would, in chapter 139, David said, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Let me ask you this. Is there anything about you that God does not know? Is there anything? The Bible says he knows the very number of hairs on your head. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. Would you agree with that? The Bible says he knows the stars by name. That's amazing, isn't it? Now look on. David goes on. He says this. And by the way, he talks about the omnipotence of God. In other words, the fact that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. Look, if you would, in verse 2. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with what? All my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou what? Knowest it altogether. Now notice this. The Bible says here, there's not a movement that you will make that God doesn't know. Every time you sit down, every time you get up, every time you move, every time you walk, whatever you do, every movement you make, God knows. Not only that, but he also says, every thought that you have, there he knows the motive behind it. Do you ever have somebody say something to you, and they pretending like they had your best interest involved, and you know that they were just throwing a barb at you? Listen, God knows when people does that. Listen, you say, well, I just had your best interest, and you know in your heart that's not true. Listen, God knows it. He knows their thoughts afar off. In other words, he knows everything you're thinking. Not a motive you have that God is not aware of. Not only that, but look on. He also says in verse 4, there's not a word in your tongue. You can't make a murmur unless God knows it. He knows every single word that you say. You say, well, I said that under my breath. You may say, I couldn't hear you. Of course, you know me. There's a lot of things I don't hear. But God, he hears all things. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 5. He says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Now, that word beset means that he surrounded you. In other words, there's no direction you can move without God being around you. He's beset you. That's what Job was talking about when he said that the devil told him that he'd put a hedge around him. In other words, he beset him. He was in front of him. He was behind him. He was beside him. He was all around him. And so David said here, Lord, you beset me. You're all around me. I can't go nowhere that you're not there. Look on, if you would, in verse number 6. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I what? There are some things about God that you will never figure out. Some people say, well, I about got God figured out. You're a fool. You know where God came from. You can't figure out eternity past. You can't figure out eternity future, where it never ends and never ends and never ends. There's things about God. The Bible says that God's ways are greater than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. As far as heaven is from the earth, so is his thoughts and his ways higher than their ways. You can't figure God out. And David said here, he was willing to admit it, there are things about God that is so great and wonderful we'll never figure out. He knows so much. In other words, he's all-knowing. Is there anything that God does not know? No. You believe that? I don't either. Look on, if you would, verse 7. Not only is he all-knowing, he's all-present. Look at verse 7. He asks a question. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? In other words, he says, where can I go to get away from God? Can I flee anywhere, get away from his presence? Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, if I ascend up into heaven, what? Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, what? Behold, thou art there. Can I tell you something? Death will not separate you from God. Some people think, I've seen people, they've committed suicide, and they told me, I just want to end it. I won't get away from everything. Well, you might get away from everything that you think of, but you won't get away from God. If you make your bed in heaven, he'll be there. If you make your bed in hell, he'll be there. You'll be judged regardless of where you go. He will be there, and you cannot get away from him. His presence will be there. Now that, look if you would, in verse number 9. He says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. In other words, he says this, distance will not separate you from God. Remember what Jonah did? He got on a ship. And he tried to flee from what? The presence of God. He went to Tarshish. He thought he would flee from the presence of God. You know what he found out in the middle of the sea? God was there. You know who made the whale? God did. You know who made the storm? God did. Listen, God was right there. Distance will not separate you from God. You said, I'm going to run away from everything. You run away from everything, but you can't run away from God. Look on. Verse number 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In other words, he says this, you can get in the darkest spot, nobody can see a thing that you're doing, but God sees you just like it's daylight. Everything is light unto God. You can't see anything. And so David said, not only is God all-knowing, but he's everywhere. You can't go nowhere. You can't hide from God. He knows everything. Then he talks about how powerful God is, that we were created by God. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, that's your innermost being, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me where? In other words, and boy, some of these abortion doctors need to figure this out, while you're in the womb, God knows you. And he's already knows you. Look on. He says in verse number 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. In other words, he said, when I was being made a baby from substance, it was not hid from you. You get that? Look on. Notice verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in where? The lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my what? Substance, yet being what? Unperfect. In other words, before it was ever formed, before I was ever made a baby, God done saw me. Did you think about that? Look on. He says, and then what? In thy book. Now notice it's going to refer several times in the Bible to thy book and the book. And we're going to get into that just more. In thy book, all my what? All my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, he said, before I even had fingers, God saw them. Before I had toes, God saw them. Before I had any members, God done had it written down in a book somewhere. You say, how is that? Because God's too wonderful to know. He's greater than any of us can ever know. He knows everything about us, and he knew us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15, verse 18, that all things are known unto God from the beginning until the what?
End.
In other words, from the very beginning, God knew all things. Amen? You say, well, he didn't know us until we were born. Well, let's look and see just a moment. First, let me read a couple more verses real quickly, and then I'll show you. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the what? You know what the saying he's talking about? The thoughts that God only has about David. Now, that's just David. In other words, David said, God, your thoughts about me, Brother Porter, I'm going to use you. God's thoughts about you are so many that you go to every sand, every sea, and count every little grain of sand, he's had that more than thoughts than that about you.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I never think about God that much. That's because you're not God. God is too wonderful for you to figure out. He's too great. Now, stay with me a minute. Look, if you would, in a couple places. Now, remember, I mentioned it in Matthew, the Bible says that the very hairs of your head is what? God knows the number of your hairs. Amen? On every human being on the face of the earth. That is astounding, isn't it? Amen? Now look on. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, just real quickly, if you would. And notice, if you would, in chapter 45. In chapter 45 of Isaiah, we find God mentioning a guy 200 years before he was born. His name was Cyrus. He called him by name 200 years before he was ever born. He told what he was going to do 200 years before he ever done it. He was the one that was going to take the Babylonian Empire down, and he was going to do it by going through some golden gates, or brass gates, that would be left open. And the Bible here, he spells it out in chapter 45. He says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loosen the loins of kings to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. In other words, he talks about them being gates of brass, and that night when he conquered Babylon, guess what they did? They were having a drunken party, and they left the gates of brass open, just like God said they would, 200 years after God put this down in his book. 200 years after that happened. God knew it 200 years ahead of time that it was going to happen. Look, if you would, in chapter 46. In chapter 46, notice in verse 10 what he says in Isaiah. He says, declaring to what? End from where? The beginning, from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, the Bible says God declares what's going to happen before it ever happens. Can you imagine that? He knows it's going to happen. Look, if you would, in chapter 49. In chapter 49, in verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Lord hath called me from where? The womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of what? So what we understand from this, whether you want to buy into it or whether you don't want to buy into it, you have to understand, we could go to a lot more verses, but you got to get a hold of this. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything he wants to. That's why later on in that chapter, 139, David talks about he slays the enemy. He does what? Nobody can stand up to God. He's all-powerful. Now that he's all present, he's everywhere, and he's also all knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything the Bible says from the beginning until the end. Now, I said, and I spent all this time to say this. When you find the book of life, you find a couple things interesting about the book of life. You'll find the word written. You'll never find a present time when God is writing somebody's name in there. You'll never find a time in the Bible, in none of these scriptures, where he's added somebody's name in there. He never adds to the book of life. The word written is past tense. In other words, somewhere way back here, somebody's name was written. Now tonight we're going to look four times in the Bible where it doesn't talk about God writing somebody's name in the book of life, but he talks about blotting their name out of the book of life. In other words, the danger is not your name being in the book. The danger is losing your name from being in the book and having it blotted out. And so we're going to look at why God blots names out in just a few moments. But first of all, I want to show you some verses throughout the scriptures that talks about your name being written in the book of life. First of all, I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this. And at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince, talking about Michael the archangel, that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now notice that. Now also turn in your Bibles, if you would, tonight, to the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now Jesus has sent his disciples out to witness, two by two. They've come back rejoicing because they've been able to cast out devils and do all that kind of stuff. And they're coming back rejoicing because of that. Then in chapter 10, notice what the Bible says there in the book of Luke. In verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, he said, I remember when Satan come down from heaven and was cast out. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. In other words, he said, because you've been able to cast out devils and do all these works, he said, that's not what you need to be rejoicing about. He said, if you want to rejoice about something, this is what you rejoice about. Notice what he says in verse 20. He says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because what? Your names are written where? In heaven. In other words, he said, listen, if you want to rejoice about something, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Look again, if you would, in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. In Philippians chapter 4, again, Paul refers to your name being written in heaven. Notice he would in chapter 4 in verse number 3. He says, "Now I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, which Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers, whose names are what? Are in the book of life." He said, "Listen, all these saved people, I want you to help them out that their names are in the book of life." And so you say, "Well, preacher, I thought you said the book of life was written from the beginning." Now, stay with me a minute, and I'll get to that in just a second. Look again, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 12. Again, we find a reference to the book in Hebrews chapter 12. Look, if you would, in verse 23. He says, "And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are what? Written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." In other words, again, we find the reference of people being written in heaven. Now, notice as well, if you would, somebody said, "Well, what exactly is a book of life?" Now, get this a minute, because this is where people miss the boat. When you study the totality, when we finish up tonight with all the verses, the totality of the book of life is this. From the beginning, way over here, before God ever created a soul, every human being that was ever born or be born was written in the book of life.
Amen.
Right. It's past tense. They were written. If your name is not in the book of life when your life is over with, it will be nobody's fault but your own. Somebody said, "I never had a chance." Oh, you had a chance because your name was written in the book of life. Now, I will say this. Children that are murdered, taken, their lives are taken, or whatever, through sickness, whatever, or abortion, children that are aborted, somebody said they don't have a chance, but they don't reach the age of accountability. When your name, when you don't reach age of accountability, your name is in the book of life. It doesn't get blotted out. Your name gets brought out for certain reasons. We're going to look here in just a few moments. But what you need to understand is the book of life is a book of living. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 69. In Psalm 69, notice what David talks about here in Psalm 69 about the book of the living. Now notice he calls it the book of the living. The reason why is he's referring to the saved and lost both at that time. Notice, if you would, in chapter 69, in verse number 28. In verse 27 it says, "Iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness." Let them be what? Blotted out of what? The book of living, and not be written with who? In other words, now you got to remember that he's talking about his enemies and enemies of God, and he said, "Listen, God, right now, both of us are written in there." He said, "Blot their name out. Don't let them be found written in there with the righteous." In other words, you say, "Well, I thought only saved people was in the book of life." No, every human being is in the book of life.
Right.
Now, stay with me a minute, because when it all ends up, when Jesus is through, this book of life will be referred to one thing, the Lamb's book of life.
Yeah.
And when it is referred to the Lamb's book of life, everybody in the book of life, it has eternal life. Only because of one factor, the Lamb.
Amen.
Now, stay with me, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's look at a couple occasions where it's blotted out. Notice, if you would, the first place we find the book mentioned is in Exodus chapter 32. You remember that Moses is there. The children of Israel has built a gold calf. God is angry with them. And this is what's happening. Notice, if you would, in verse 32. Verse 31 says, "And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now," notice what Moses says, "yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not," what? Blot me, I pray thee, where? Out of thy book, which what? In other words, Moses said, "My name's there, God. Somebody said, what's Moses saying? Moses saying, God, before you take all them, take my name out. You see, that takes great love. It was sort of like Paul wishing that he could be a curse for all the nation of Israel. That took great love. You say, do you think Paul meant it? I think he meant it. But you know what God told Moses? Moses said, Lord, if you'll forgive them, fine. But if not forgive them, then blot me out of that book that you've written and blot my name out where my name is there. Now, notice what he says in verse 33. And then the Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, what? Whoever ever sinned against me, him will I what? It won't be somebody else's sin that you get blotted out of the book for. You get blotted out of the book for your own sin. In other words, you can't blame it on somebody else. You say, well, God, listen, my mom, nope. All my friends, nope. My wife, nope. Well, my best, nope. The condition, nope. Your sins get you blotted out. You understand? Your sins get you blotted out of the book. Stay with me a minute. Look again. Let's find another. Turn to the book of Revelation real quickly. Book of Revelation, we find several times the book of life's mentioned because it deals, we done read two of them starting in the text, at the great white throne judgment. And if you remember there, chapter 3 is where I want you to go right now. But if you remember, that's where John says that whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast where? Lake of fire. And verse before that, he said death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. The second death is eternal separation from God, and it is in the lake of fire where you'll be eternally tormented forever and ever and ever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 talks about eternal destruction. That's what he's talking about. In Revelation chapter 3, notice what he says, talking to the church of Sardis in verse number 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in what? And I will not, what? Blot out his name out of where? The book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In other words, he says, listen. He says, whoever overcomes, and how do we overcome? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we overcome the world by faith. And when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we overcome, and whoever overcomes, he will not what? Listen to me. Say with me a minute. When he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever, what? Believeth on him should not what? But have what? You know why he can make that promise? Because the moment that you get saved, the moment that you get saved, you have eternal life, and you can never, ever have your name taken out of the book of life because you have eternal life. You never die. When someone who is lost, the moment that they, not only are they spiritually dead here, but the moment they die a physical death, their name is out of the book of life because they no longer have any life about them. They have no spiritual life. They have no physical life. They are dead. And all they're waiting for is a second death, which is the lake of fire. And until you have life and you have eternal life through believing upon Jesus, he promises you will never perish because when you stand before him, the book of life will have your name in it. And nothing can take your name out of the book of life once you have been saved by the blood of Jesus. Now stay with me a minute. Look on in Revelation again. There are two different situations. In chapter 13, turn over there a minute. In chapter 13, we have in the book of Revelation, we are introduced to the Antichrist. We are also introduced to the mark of the beast. Now we know that the Bible teaches us that whoever takes the mark of the beast is going to be damned. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 12, the Bible says, all who will not believe that goes into tribulation shall be damned. They will believe a lie. They will not be able to be saved. Those who are rejected down here. And so there will be no hope for them. Because the Bible says all will be, A-double-L. You say, well, won't there be some saved during tribulation? Yes, but those who have never heard the gospel preach. That's the ministry of the 144,000 Jews, is to take the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. And that's what they'll do. But in chapter 13, we find the Antichrist talking, and we find the Bible referencing those that had taken the mark of the beast. Notice what it says in verse 8. Chapter 13. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the Antichrist, whose name is what? Not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, everybody that will not end up in the book of the life of the Lamb will perish. Okay? Everybody got that? Look, if you would, in chapter 17, verse number 8. Again, we find the same reference to those who had taken the mark of the beast. Chapter 17, verse number 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were what? Not written in a book of life. From where was book of life from? From the foundation of what? The foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. In other words, the Bible says, listen, those that's going to take this mark, the Bible's done predicted that everyone who takes the mark of the beast will be damned. When they do that, their name will be blotted out of the book of life. Now listen to me a minute. Then what happens is this. But he says this book of life, which was written from when? The foundation of when? The world. In other words, the foundation of the world was mean when God said, let there be light. Let there be heaven and earth. And guess what? Already had names written in there. Stay with me a minute. Stay with me. Look here. Turn, if you would, to chapter 22. The last chapter in the book of Revelation. Chapter 22. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. John says this. He says, for I testify unto who? Every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him what? The plagues that are written in the book. In other words, he said, you better not start adding stuff to God's word. God's already predicted how things are going to end. Somebody said, preacher, I think we need to write another book. Oh, not me. Somebody said, I think that needs another chapter. Not for me. I'm not going to put one more word in it. So I told somebody a day or two ago, I said, listen, God, he cooked it. I serve it. And look here, he's a master chef. I'm not going to add nothing to the thing he's cooked. I'm just going to serve it. My job is preach the word, not add to it and not take away from it. And look here, so what I'm going to do is just preach the word. And I'm going to let the word speak for itself. And listen, you better not start trying to add stuff to it. That's why I don't want nothing to do with all these new translations that keeps adding to and taking away. I can lay some of them side by side by side, and there's whole passages gone. Not for me, buddy. I fear what God would do if I started messing with his word. Now, he says that what he'll do is, you start adding stuff to his word, he'll add to you the plagues that's in the book. Now, look on in the next verse. Notice what he says in verse 19. He says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away what? His part. His part where? Out of the book of life, and where else? Out of the holy city. That new Jerusalem, that holy city that Jesus is going to prepare, you won't get to see it if your name gets taken out of the book of life. You better not start taking stuff from the word of God. I don't care. You say, well, preacher, I don't like what it says. There's a lot of things I don't like what it says because it hits me. And boy, it cuts me to pieces. But it's not my job to change it, nor try to move it around to suit myself. It is the word of God. Amen. And forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Settled. That means it can't be moved in heaven. Amen. Now, stay with me. I'm about done, but stay with me. Now, let me say this. Turn with me one more place, and I'm going to come back to Revelation and close in Revelation. Turn with me, if you would, book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I want you to see this. People said, well, preacher, then what you're saying is this. From the foundation of the world, God wrote names, every human being in the book of life. Everybody, and listen, every baby that's been sucked out of a mother's womb and somebody shed that innocent blood, they're going to give an account to God for murdering that baby.
Amen.
I don't want no part of that. Listen to me. That baby had its name in the book of life. God knew that baby when it was in the womb. It knew the baby before it was in the womb. It knew it from the beginning. It knew you from the beginning. It knew me from the beginning. You say, that's too marvelous for us to understand. That's exactly the point David was trying to get across in Psalm chapter 139. God knows everything. Amen? Look here. He knows everything. I just can't get over the number of everybody's hair. I would say you women can bush it up, make it look thicker, but I'm not going to say that. But look here. It doesn't matter. God knows exactly how many they are. But look here. It is true that the only way that you can secure your name will not be blotted out of the book of life is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe upon Him with your heart, thou shalt be saved. The Bible promises that you will never perish, but you have everlasting what? Life. That's why you're in the Lamb's book of life, because the life of everybody listed in His book will have everlasting life. But look here. The moment you die without Jesus, your name is blotted. But now listen. Somebody said, well, I may live to be several more years, but can I tell you this? There are some things that you can do while you're living and have your name blotted out of the book of life. Remember, we just got through telling about one. He said, listen, you start taking things away from the book of this prophecy, you know what I'm going to do? Take your name out of the book of life. And you're not going to have your name in the book of life. You're not going to go to the holy city. You know where you're going to go? The lake of fire. Now look, if you stay with me a minute. Look in Romans chapter 1. Now I'm not going to go over all this. I've taught on it several times. But notice here that when they knew God as God, they worshiped Him not as God. But notice this, they thought themselves in verse 22 to be wise. They became fools. They began to change the image of the uncorruptible God, the God who knows everything, the God who deserves all worship and honor. But they begin to bring Him down to like four-footed beasts in verse 23. Then 24, wherefore God also gave what? Gave them up to what? Through the what? Lust of their own hearts and to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into what? A lion and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now you notice this? The Bible says, listen, they want to do their own thing. They didn't want to recognize me for who I am. They want to take my truth and change it into a lie. He said, you know what I did? I just gave them up. You know what He does when He gives you up? He takes your name out of the book of life. When God gives you up, I don't care, the greatest preacher on this earth cannot save you. When God gives you up, the greatest revival meetings on this earth cannot save you. When God gives you up, you can't come to Him unless you are drawn. And if God doesn't draw you, it doesn't do any good. There's not a one of us can save a soul here. Only one, that's God. And when God says, I give you up, when you do this, there'll be no hope for you. You say, well, preacher, I may do that, and I'm going to change around. But look on. Finish reading with me a little bit more. Notice what He says in verse 26. And for this cause, God what? Gave them up unto what? Vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In other words, the Bible says, listen, they left men, left the use of women, and they started men with men and women with women. He said, that's it goes against nature. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, when you do that and you leave and go, look at the very next verse, what he says. In verse 28, and even as God did not like to retain, and even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them what? To what? To do those things which are what? Not convenient. In other words, not natural. Things that don't come natural. Listen to me very carefully. The United States can pass all the laws they want to that it's okay for a man to marry a man. They can pass all the laws they want to saying that you cannot discriminate against homosexuality. But can I tell you this? Now listen to me. Don't tread that path. That's a dangerous thing. You know what a reprobate mind is? A reprobate mind is when God takes away the guilt out of your mind. You no longer feel guilty when you're doing that. You know, even little kids. You ever seen little kids? You've had one or two in your lifetime. You ever seen little kids do something and try to lie to you and they had guilt all over them? That guilt comes from conscience, Brother Junior. And that guilt comes from things in their lives. Look here. And what happens is this. When God removes that and gives them a reprobate mind, they think everything's okay with it. They're not ashamed of it at all. We call it, we celebrate here in America, coming out of the closet. They won't celebrate in hell. It's a dangerous thing. And God said, as they didn't like to retain me in their thoughts, I'll give them up and give them over to a reprobate mind. And when you get a reprobate mind, the first place you start with salvation is in your mind, and then it moves to your heart. And when it can't get beyond your mind and past your mind, my friend, you're doomed. You follow me? My point is this. I want to get this. I'm going to close with this verse. You can have your name out of the book of life before you ever die. When you commit something with God and God gives up on you, you're doomed. Nothing in this universe can save your soul. And you'll never find one place where God says he gave up on them, then he went back and picked them up. Never will you find one place where he says that is not an abomination in his sight. Never does he recant that. Never does he say, well, in time it'll be okay. It's still damning people's souls to hell today. And many of them walking around bragging, jumping up in front of microphones and claiming this and telling how it's all hate with the Christians. It's not hate. I'd like to see every one of them get saved. But listen to me. Ain't no way I'm going to change that word. When God says when a man lies with a man as if a woman, it's abomination inside. Amen. I'm not going to change that. Amen. And neither am I going to say it's okay. Because God didn't give me authority to do that. He cooked that up. I'm just going to serve it. Amen? Now, turn with me one more place. I'm going to close. Turn with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I know I've kept you a little long, but it's hard to cover all this quickly. Now, picture this in your mind. Everybody got this? In the book of Revelation, when we get to chapter 21, we're here. We have gone through the reign of Christ. We've gone through already the tribulation before the reign of Christ, the judgment of the nations after the tribulation, the reign of Christ, and then Satan's going to be loosened for a little season in chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. He's going to be loosened. He's going to come against the camp of the saints, and God's going to send fire down from heaven, and he's going to cast him like a fire. He's going to be tormented forever and ever and ever in verse number 10 of chapter 20. Verse number 11 is where we find the great white throne judgment of God. That's where we opened up. That's where we find the book of life opened. That's where we find whoever was not found written in the book of life cast where? Now you got to remember, in verses 11 through 15, there will not be another lost soul ever upon the face of the earth. Every lost soul that's ever going to be there is in that group, small and great, right there. Got that? The great white throne judgment is only going to happen once. It's going to happen at the end when all the unsaved will be judged. They will be cast in the lake of fire. After that, what happens in chapter 21, verse number 1? And John said, and I saw what? New heaven, new earth. The old heaven, old earth was gone. And you know, and so therefore there was found no place for them. They're gone. Now he's got a new heaven, new earth. All sin is gone. He's gone to prepare a place for us. When we get there, what's going to happen is we'll never know sin again. Now look, if you would, in chapter 21. Chapter 21, and knows this. This is what throws a lot of people. Look, if you would, in verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, the holy city, anything that what? Defileth neither whatsoever what? Work of abomination. Boy, that's a word of abomination again. Or maketh what? But they which are what? In the Lamb's book of life. Now get this. Why does it refer? I've heard people teach this. Oh, that the Lamb's Book of Life is when you get saved, you get added into it. But the Lamb's Book of Life means when you get saved, you can never be taken out of it. But get this. At this time, everybody who will be blotted out will be blotted out. The only ones left in the Book of Life. Now, everybody had the chance. From down here, everybody who reached the age of accountability had an opportunity. That's why the Bible says, whosoever will. Don't buy into this doctrine that she has the opportunity to be saved, he doesn't. Everybody has it. Now look here. So what happens is this. All through the ages, God's, the chief end of all men is glorify God. His grace is what he's going to be glorified in heaven about. The Lamb is going to get glorified for shedding his blood and being a sacrificial lamb. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's what all worship in heaven is about, the Lamb. Look here. Everybody that gets here into heaven, there'll be no more lost people. So now everybody that's in the book of life is in the Lamb's book of life. His blood made it possible that their name was still there.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Look here.
That's right.
If it wasn't for the Lamb, the lake of fire would be waiting on you and her and him. If it wasn't for the Lamb, Brother Steve, the lake of fire would be waiting for you and 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 you. If it wasn't for the Lamb, the only way we're going to have eternal life is because of the Lamb. And from the beginning, and no, Terry, that book that Moses talked about that was written from the foundation of the world was not going into Canaan. It was going into the holy city. If you notice, he always uses the word the singular book, thy singular book. Now, he talks about the books that's open to judges your works, but when he talks about your name, he talks about the singular. There's only one. And it was from the beginning, foundation of the world. And it will turn into the Lamb's book of life because when it's all over with, whoever's name is still there is there because of the Lamb. And throughout eternity, we will gather around the throne and praise one person, the Lamb of God. And he has given him a name that is above all names. And he shall be worshipped and praised. And we will be there only because of him. And there'll not be a one of us that can desert that deserves it. Now get this. Somebody said, well, preacher, when I get up there, I expect God just tell me what a good job. Listen. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should. Be one we boast on. Be the Lamb. That's why some people say, well, the Lamb's Book of Life is different than the Book of Life. No, it's not. The only time you find us introduced in the Lamb's Book of Life is whenever all the work is over with and those that took the mark of the beast and lost and all the lost throughout all ages. And then the only ones left in it is Book of Life, is Lamb. And they're there because of the Lamb and they are the Lambs. We have been bought with his price of blood, and we have believed upon his work upon Calvary. Therefore, it secured our name in the book of life. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, and you know that your name is there, but you know that if you were to die today, there'd be no hope for you. You've never accepted Christ, even though God's dealt with you. Maybe you need to come. Would you come? God lays it upon your heart. How about it?